Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us from Israel for the Israel Report this morning, Rolene Marks. Rolene, how are you?
I'm always happy to speak to you and to hear the wise words of Dr. Marburg.
Absolutely, indeed. All right, so has he called, Rolene? Has he called? Has he picked up the phone to call? And what does it mean if he hasn't? Does it mean he doesn't love us?
He always loves us. I mean, guys, in this day and age, does it really matter if you don't get the phone call? And apparently in this case, yes, it does.
It does, apparently.
Feelings are very hurt, Howard.
Really?
He hasn't texted, he hasn't called, he hasn't WhatsApped, he hasn't, you know, slid into DMs. Now, let's be serious for a second. So you all know what we're talking about. Has President Biden called Prime Minister Netanyahu? And he hasn't yet. And the reasons for this aren't that he's snubbing Israel or that we're not important or that we don't feature very high, on his list of friends. In fact, there's a perfectly good explanation. First of all, we've heard from Dan Shapiro, who was the ambassador from the United States to Israel during the Obama administration. And again, I think we have to be very clear to separate Biden from Obama, because the two men have very, very different relationships with Israel and also two very different approaches to foreign policy, and also came into their presidencies inheriting different Americas. And I'm going to say something, and some of you might not like what I'm going to say, but I have had three coffees, Howard, so
you can handle it. You've got it. You've got the fortitude. Go for it, Rolene. I'll back you up.
I'm prepared for this. You'll totally alibi me. This I know. Biden is coming into or is starting his administration following an administration, while very, very good for Israel in many respects, maybe not so much in the long run. And I'm going to tell you why. Trump was a very, very polarizing figure. And yes, we give him full kudos for the incredible things that he has done for Israel. However, it has come at the expense of America's relations with other countries. And the Biden administration, their foreign policy viewpoint is very much putting diplomacy back on the table. And he's trying to repair, to show other countries that perhaps didn't feel as much love as we did, that they are still important. It doesn't make Israel any less important. He's also inheriting a country in the midst of a global pandemic, and that's where his priorities have to be. His priorities have to be on his domestic issues, and his priorities have to deal with areas where there are serious conflicts. We are seeing in places like Myanmar, in places like China, with the Uyghur people. And also a big concern is where we sit with Iran. And I think if we want to, if we want a Biden administration that is sympathetic to Israel on Iran, we can't get aggressive over issues like phone calls. We have to understand that, at the moment, Israel is not the biggest priority. Dealing with China, that is a growing strategic rival to the United States, is. Dealing with Russia, that is going to be increasingly more aggressive, is. Dealing with relations with other historical allies that are perhaps a little strained following the Trump administration, is. Our relationship between our two countries is strong. We've seen this demonstrated by the Secretary of State, by the Secretary of Security on and military matters, being in constant contact with their Israeli counterparts, speaking so supportively of Israel where they have needed to. The relationship is still intact. You may throw your tomatoes at me now.
No, so I think what you're saying is absolutely right. It might also, following what you're saying, mean that it's actually a very good sign, because it isn't chaos. It's not a crisis. Everything there is relatively stable to a greater or lesser extent, rather than it is, as opposed to how it is in other regions. And that's where Biden has to focus. He has to focus on China. He has to focus on Iran. And yes, that pulls Israel, of course, into the conversation. And he has to do focus at home, because America is extremely fragmented and polarized.
What we do hear is that he will call the prime minister next week, but it's exactly that. And I think very often we let our emotions get ahead of ourselves when it comes to issues around Israel, rather than looking at, you know, the bigger picture and the situation on the ground for the United States and the global situation. The Biden administration is coming into its own in the middle of a massive crisis, a crisis we haven't seen since World War II, a crisis that for many world leaders, us included, is unprecedented. You know, there's been a lot of criticism to world leaders, how they're handling this corona crisis. I don't think anybody's gotten full marks on how to deal with this, and that we have to be understanding. And I agree with you where, you know, we can actually give a sigh of relief that things are pretty stable, that, you know, that there aren't little fires here that have to be put out. And I think if you have to speak to each country's leader individually, they're always going to put their domestic issues before any major foreign policy issues.
Absolutely right. I'd love your thoughts on that. 34519 or 061-895-1019. Do you think that it is significant that, do you think that it is significant that Biden hasn't called? Henry says, not even 2 minutes to make a phone call. Get my late mother on the subject.
Jewish guilt him into a phone.
Absolutely. That's what Biden needs right now. And Tracy says, I don't agree. Biden should have made contact by now. Bad manners and poor statesmanship. Gimple says, and of course he doesn't want to be seen endorsing Bibi. Clive says it's only polarizing because you don't like him. So a lot of our listeners clearly disagreeing and saying, well, actually, he should have picked up the phone and he should have made that that phone call. Ivy says, you actually don't want my opinion on this, with two exclamation marks. Oh, now you're just teasing us, Ivy. Now you are just teasing us.
On this. I just want to address the issue about Clive. You know, Clive, as an analyst, it's not about always about the personalities. It's about looking at the bigger picture. It's more often than not nothing personal. And it's about looking at, you know, all the pieces of the puzzle and how they fit together. And one thing I love about Israelis is that we don't have this, you know, you're either for or against. You either like him or you don't. We have this ability to give kavod to a leader on some things and totally criticize him on other things, and that's totally okay. It's just something, you know, quite fascinating that I find here. But, you know, as working as an analyst and, you know, one where we are expected to be taken quite seriously, it's not always about, you know, personal likes or dislikes.
Absolutely. Hachamor says Biden is continuing the theme that Obama started, that hated Israel, even said so during a hot mic session. He didn't say he hates Israel. He said he hates Bibi. I think there is a bit of a difference. He said
there is a difference. And there's also a decades long relationship between Biden and Bibi, which and with Israel, that is not Obama.
Yeah, and I do think we do have to recognize that. Nikki said Biden could at least have found Rivlin. We're not letting him off the hook, Rolene. We are absolutely, our listeners this morning, absolutely not buying what you are selling.
That's fine. You know, that's their right. That's
and I love it. I love it. I love them for it. All right, other subjects. Big, big mazel tov, of course, to Steven Spielberg.
Yes, well, we have to, you know, in a week where there's been so much conjecture and criticism and, you know, phone calls and jabbies and all of that, we have to say a big mazel tov to Steven Spielberg. And he is this year's recipient of the Genesis Prize. And that's the Israeli equivalent of the Nobel Prize. You know, he is an extraordinary man. He's somebody that, apart from bringing us some of the greatest movies of our times, E.T., you know, the Indiana Jones movies, the masterpiece that is Schindler's List, and also the Steven Spielberg Foundation that has dedicated itself to preserving the memory of the Holocaust and Holocaust education. You know, he is one of the movie greats. He's one of our greats. We're just sad that he couldn't be in Israel to receive the prize personally, you know, with the airport being closed, with travel being suspended for the moment. But a huge mazal tov to Steven Spielberg, a very, very worthy recipient.
Absolutely. You know, when we look at his contribution, it is absolutely fantastic. And it's not just about his movies. It's also about taking his skills and his gifts and recording Holocaust stories. He's just really shown himself to be really, really tremendous. Other stories, Rolene, that we wanted to cover. Of course, the big event this week, or the big reveal this week, shock and horror that the Mossad might have been behind the assassination of the Iranian top nuclear scientists. Are we astounded?
Well, what is astounding is that the London Jewish Chronicle were the ones to publish this expose. You know, Israel doesn't comment on issues around assassinations. You know, we cannot confirm nor deny. But this expose is pretty in-depth and cites sources within the Mossad saying that there were at least 20 agents involved, some Iranian, which is very interesting, some Israelis. They had surveilled Fakhrizadeh for at least 8 months, and they were able to bring in a one-ton gun into Iran. And, you know, it's all, you know, it's the stuff that maybe Steven Spielberg would have put in a movie. But then, you know, you put other hats again as an analyst and think to yourself, is this psychological warfare? Are we trying to send a message to Iran to say, you know, we will get you no matter where you are, and, you know, it's going to come from the most unexpected places.
There's suddenly quite a bad echo. I'm not sure what's going on your side. Are you there?
I'm still here.
Oh, that's much better.
I'm still here. Yeah, so I really found it absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, what's also interesting is that the Chronicle published this information. You know, I would have thought that they would have been a little bit hesitant around that.
Well, you know, when they cite sources within the Mossad, you know, my instinct is to say, okay, who's playing psyops with who here? You know, this is the kind of take I get on it. Don't know about you, Howard.
It's really fascinating. And look, no surprise, but it is quite unbelievable that they managed to bring a one-ton. Look, I want to know who holds a one-ton gun. You know, this is it. You know, that you clearly have to be quite well trained.
Clearly not me, Howard. I mean, I can barely lift 2 kilograms at the gym, which, you know, thank God they're open on the 23rd of February, you know.
Yeah. That's probably the reason. It is 8 o'clock. This is where we love and leave you.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.